Okay, so you know how everyone's always talking about starting a business, like it's this big dream,
Right.
but then you hear that huge number of how many fail, and it's kind of intimidating.
Yeah, it's definitely a stat that makes you stop and think.
So that's what we're digging into today. Why do so many small businesses not make it? And more importantly, what can you do differently?
And we've gone kind of deep, right? We've got articles, blog posts, all sorts of advice from experts.
Oh yeah, we pulled out the big guns for this one. Investopedia, Lightspeed, even some marketing magic from WordStream.
Try to crack the code for you.
Exactly. So no surprise, money's a biggie. Yeah.
It's huge, EE. But it's not just having money, it's understanding it, you know?
Okay, explain that, because I think a lot of us, we see dollar signs and kind of freeze.
Totally. This Lightspeed article, it called Cash Flow Problems the Silent Killer of Businesses, and that really stuck with me.
Silent killer. Why silent, though?
Because it sneaks up on you. Like, you're so focused on making sales, you don't realize you're not actually keeping enough of that money to, like, survive.
Makes sense, especially when you're starting out. Maybe every sale feels like a win, even if the margins are tight.
Exactly. They said it's like a slow leak in a tire. You might not notice it at first, but eventually, boom, you're stranded.
So how do we avoid that? What they say, keep a closer eye on your books.
It's more than just that. It's about analyzing, looking for patterns, almost like predicting the future a bit.
Oh, getting all fortune teller with our finances. I like it.
Right. They gave this example, like, say your sales spike every December. That's great. But can you handle a slower January if everyone's already spent their holiday budget?
Oh, good point. You'd almost need to save some of that December boom to get through the slump.
Exactly. And that's just one example. They had a ton. Like, underestimating startup costs, that's another classic.
Oh, I can see that happening so easily. You get caught up in the excitement by all the fancy equipment.
And then, bam, reality hits. You
Yeah.
haven't even sold anything yet, and you're already in the red.
Yikes. Yeah, not a good feeling. They mention anything about inventory, because that seems like another easy place to trip up.
Oh, for sure. Lightspeed called inventory piles of cold, hard cash sitting on your shelves.
Oof. Yeah, when you put it that way, it really makes you think.
Right. It's like having too much inventory is the same as having that cash just frozen, unusable.
Okay, so we're watching our cash flow like a hawk, not overspending on startup stuff and being smart about inventory. Got it. What else?
All right. So this one is huge EE in today's world. Online presence.
Oh, right, because if you're not online these days, do you even exist?
Basically, I mean, WordStream had this stat that really drove it home. 56% of consumers won't even consider a business that doesn't have a website.
56%. Okay, that's huge EE. I hold my hand up. I'm guilty of that. If I can't find you online, I'm moving on.
And you're not alone. That's just how people shop. No, it's the first point of contact.
So it's not even just having a website. It's got to be good, right?
Exactly. You know how we all judge a website within like 5 seconds?
Oh, 100%. If it's clunky, outdated, I'm out of there.
That's what they're saying. Just having a website isn't enough. It has to
Yeah.
be modern,
Right.
easy to use, and you got to make sure people can even find it, you know, SEO and all that.
Okay, so our website is basically our storefront to the world now. Got to make a good first impression.
Exactly.
Huh.
And WordStream actually had some really cool specific tips on how to do that. Like, even if you're not a tech whiz, there are things you can do to make your site stand out.
All right, so we've got the money stuff somewhat under control. Our online presence is top-notch. What else do we need to survive this wild world of business?
This is where it gets really interesting because a lot of sources, especially Investopedia, said it's not just about what you do, but how you think. They emphasized adaptability.
Adaptability.
Yeah.
So even with a killer product, a gorgeous website, and my finances in order, I could still fail.
It's not about what you have. It's about what you do when things change. And they will change.
Give me an example. What does that even look like in practice?
Remember Blockbuster Video?
Yeah.
They were the place to rent movies. Then, poof, gone.
Gone because they didn't, what, keep up with Netflix and all that?
Exactly. Investopedia used them as a warning, a what not to do. You got to be ready to pivot, shift, change with the times. The business world, it doesn't stand still.
It's true. Things change so fast these days. Look at, well, everything. It's got to be tough for businesses to keep up.
It is, but that's also kind of the exciting part, right? Always something new to figure out.
I guess if you see it as a challenge, not a burden, yeah. But practically speaking, how do we become more adaptable?
It's funny, a lot of the sources mention this really simple thing, but it's like the golden rule.
Hit me with it.
Talk to your customers. Like, really talk to them.
Okay, beyond just like, thanks for coming in kind of thing.
Way beyond. They need to feel heard. you know? Uh-huh. Ask for feedback. Figure out what's working, what's not.
Make it easy for them to tell you their thoughts, good or bad.
Exactly. Don't be scared of criticism. That's how you grow. WordStream actually talked about this cool technique, A-B testing.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that, but never tried it. Remind me how it works again.
Basically, you make two regions of something, like an ad or even just your website headline, slightly different.
And see which one people respond to better, right?
Yeah.
Like a mini experiment.
Exactly. It takes the guesswork out of it. You're letting the data tell you what works.
Speaking of data, I feel like we talk about data a lot in business, but for someone just starting out, it can be overwhelming.
100%.
Yeah.
You don't need to be a data scientist, though.
Yeah.
Even small businesses, they already have so much data they can use.
Like what? Give me some examples. What should I be paying attention to?
Lightspeed said your sales data is a gold mine.
Yeah.
Like, when are your peak sales times? What sells best together?
Oh, interesting. So like if I see sandals always sell well with a certain type of bag, maybe I do a promotion around that combo.
Exactly. Or if you see online sales spike after you post on Instagram, well, there's your answer, right?
Instagram it is. See, this is why I love data. When you know how to use it, it's like magic.
Right. And they made a good point. Even those point of sale systems, the ones that let you take payments, they track a ton of data now.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that's tracking everything. Okay. So we're gathering all this data. What then? Do I need spreadsheets galore?
You can go that deep if you want. But honestly, even just noticing the trends is a good starting point. Like, don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. I like that. So adaptable means talking to my customers, being smart about data. Anything else?
This one might sound kind of obvious, but a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with it, asking for help.
Like reaching out to my network, finding a mentor, that kind of thing.
That's a huge part of it. Lightspeed actually had a whole section on the power of community for small businesses.
Because you can't do it all alone, right? Even Superman had his team.
Exactly. And they had a good point. It's not just about getting help from your community, but giving back too.
Oh, I like that. Like supporting other local businesses, collaborating on events.
Exactly. It's like, that's how you build a strong ecosystem. Everyone benefits.
Community, right. It's like that saying, it takes a village, but for businesses.
Oh, it really is. And those relationships, they can be lifesavers, especially when you're just starting out. Everything feels overwhelming.
Speaking of overwhelming, any tips on how to not let it get that way? I feel like as an entrepreneur, it's easy to fall into the trap of doing everything yourself.
Oh, the classic, if you want it done right mentality.
Oh, guilty. But seriously, that's a recipe for burnout, isn't it?
100%. And it's not even effective. Investopedia actually said that trying to wear all the hats can stifle your growth.
Makes sense. You can only stretch yourself so thin before something snaps. So delegation then.
Delegation is key. And it starts with knowing yourself, what you're good at, what you should hand off to someone else.
Okay, so figure out my strengths, my weaknesses. Then what?
Then you start building your dream team. Think about the tasks you dread, the ones that suck your energy. Those are prime candidates for outsourcing.
Oh, like if I'm amazing at the creative stuff, but terrible with numbers, maybe time to hire a bookkeeper.
Exactly. Free yourself up to focus on your zone of genius.
Love it. And that ties back into what we were saying about the human side of business, doesn't it?
100%. It's not just about delegating tasks. It's about building a team, a culture, a vibe.
And when you get that right, it shows. WordStream mentioned the study. Companies with engaged employees, they outperform the competition by a landslide.
Engaged employees are your secret weapon. It's like they become mini ambassadors for your brand because they actually believe in it.
That's powerful. Okay, so we're delegating. We've got a team of rock stars. Anything else we need in our entrepreneur starter pack?
This one is huge. And honestly, a lot of sources called it out as the make or break factor. Leadership.
Leadership, huh? I think when people hear that word, they imagine like a CEO giving a big speech. What's it mean on a smaller scale?
It's more about the how than the what.
Yeah.
Remember Lightspeed's article, the one about why businesses fail? They said poor management was the number one reason.
Really? Even above the financial stuff.
Yep. And they weren't just talking about like technical skills. It was more about like integrity, good communication, inspiring your team.
It's about setting the tone, leading by example, all that good stuff.
Exactly. And the good news is it's a skill, not some innate talent. You can learn to be a better leader.
So even if you don't feel like a natural leader right now, there's hope.
Absolutely. Find a mentor, take a course, even just observe leaders you admire, see what they do differently.
So much good advice. This has been such an insightful deep dive. I feel like we've really cracked the code on not just why businesses fail, but how to avoid those pitfalls altogether.
Me too.
He.
And you know, Even with all this knowledge, starting and running a business is still going to have its challenges.
Oh, for sure. But that's part of the adventure, right? And hey, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Exactly. But seriously, to everyone listening, if you've got that entrepreneurial fire in your belly, don't let the fear of failure hold you back.
Couldn't have said it better myself. This episode is packed with actionable advice, so pick one thing, just one thing, and tackle it this week.
That's how you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. And remember, you don't have to do it alone.
Preach. There's a whole community of entrepreneurs out there, ourselves included, ready to cheer you on every step of the way. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone. We'll catch you next time with more insights and inspiration to help you build the business of your dreams.